Ben. If you'd like to come. We're reading from the NRSV version. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed be anyone who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron smelter, saying, listen to my voice, and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath that I swore to your ancestors, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as at this day. Then I answered, so be it, Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. Hear the words of this covenant, and do them. For I solemnly warned your ancestors when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ears, but everyone walked in the stubbornness of an evil will. So I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. And the Lord said to me, conspiracy exists among the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors of old, who refused to heed my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant that I made with their ancestors.
It was cold this week, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Anybody have to work outside? Yeah. But this cold weather is a reminder for us that the holiday season is upon us, is it not? And the holidays means a lot of things to a lot of people. And to a lot of people, the holidays mean shopping, traveling, parties, and of course, eating. Americans tend to put away a lot of food over the holiday season, beginning with Thanksgiving on through New Year's Day. It is reported that the average American gains 5 pounds over the holidays. Now, do you know what I call people who gain 5 pounds over the holidays? Underachievers. It's a good thing that gluttony isn't a sin, isn't it? Well, as I was thinking this week about all the great foods we get to eat during the holiday season, as I sat down for supper one evening, I got a sandwich from Subway. You know the sub sandwiches you get from Subway? And as I was enjoying this sandwich, you know, they can eat. Yeah, okay, so the sandwich you get from Subway. And as I was eating this sandwich, I was reminded about a bad experience that I had with the sandwich. And not many people have bad experiences with sandwiches, but I did have one. I was in college, and some friends and I were going to meet that evening, on a Saturday evening, for a movie, and just to hang out with one another at their house. And before I was to meet them for this movie, they called me and said, hey, we're going to go out and get some sandwiches. If you're interested, we'll pick you up something as well. But it sounded like a good idea to me. So I put in my order for a 12-inch chicken breast sub from Subway. And when I got to their house, they handed out the sandwiches, and we began to watch the movie. And with my first bite of the sandwich, I thought to myself, something isn't right. I ate the first 6 inches of that sub until I realized what it was. In my hand, I had a chicken breast sub with no chicken. Well, my friends are kind of cornery, and this is kind of something that they would do. I suspected them of taking the chicken off of my sandwich. This is something my friends would do. So rather than giving them the satisfaction of seeing my reaction, I decided I'm going to eat the other 6 inches. It's not the same thing. So I ate an entire 12-inch long sub. It's chicken breast sub with no chicken. And then upon finishing this sub, I sat back, put my hands on my belly, brought my feet up, and said, "That was a good sub. I didn't miss the chicken at all." They looked at each other and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, yeah, good joke, haha. I know you took the chicken off my sub, but I wasn't going to give you the satisfaction of seeing my reaction, so I ate it anyway. They said, "You're out of your mind. What are you talking about?" Well, you know what happened. The sandwich artist at Subway had forgotten to put the main ingredient on my chicken breast sub. Right after getting a chicken breast sub, I was given a vegetarian sub. And this kind of bothered me a bit, because we had an agreement, me and the people at Subway. I had agreed to pay for a chicken breast sub, and they in turn had agreed to give me a chicken breast sub. One of us did not uphold our part of the agreement, and it wasn't me. I felt cheated by this experience. You see, a vegetarian sub costs $5.19, whereas a chicken breast sub costs $6.49. So I had been cheated out of $1.30. And as a college student, $1.30 is pretty significant, isn't it? We had made an agreement, and they did not fulfill their side of the deal, and I felt cheated. Now, probably each and every one of us here today has felt cheated at some point in our lives. Whether we've been a part of a bad business deal, or maybe we bought a car that we thought was in good shape, only to find out later that it had some major problems with it. In one way or another, many of us have been the victims of a deal gone bad. Many of us have been cheated in one way or another. Now, as Christians, we would never think of cheating somebody else, would we? We would never think of cheating anybody else on purpose, that is. But this is exactly what we do when we try to take advantage of God's unconditional love. You see, God's unconditional love is not given to us so that we can just sit back and passively receive these blessings from God. Just sit back and enjoy God's love, because that's who God is. Yes, God is love, but we are called into a relationship with God. We are called into a covenantal relationship with God, for God has promised us one thing, but we must, in response, give something back to God. God tells us, "Do these things, and I will bless you." Now, in our scripture reading for today, the prophet Jeremiah is telling the Israelites this exact same thing. Beginning in verse 3, Jeremiah is to tell the people of Jerusalem and Judah, "Cursed be anyone who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron smelter, saying, 'Listen to my voice, and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath that I swore to your ancestors, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as at this day.'" God had made a covenant with the people of Israel. And a covenant is simply an agreement between two or more parties. It's kind of like they made a contract with one another. Now, this covenant refers back to Deuteronomy 27, verses 1 through 26, where God tells the people, "I will give you the promised land if you follow my laws." It's kind of like a parent telling their children, "As long as you are living under my roof, you will follow my rules." Now, when God told the Israelites this, they were quick to agree with everything that God had said. They wanted the promised land. So when God said, "Follow my rules and I will give this to you," they said, "Yes, Lord." They said, "Amen," which literally means, "Let it be so." And in the first law, in Deuteronomy 27:15, this is what God said. Cursed be anyone who makes an idol or casts an image, anything abhorrent to the Lord, and the work of an artisan, and sets it up in secret. And all the people responded, saying, Amen. And this was the beginning of a covenant. They said, Let it be so. And they signed their names on the dotted line. They had agreed to be apart in this contract. But do you think that the Israelites held their portion of the deal? You think that they kept what they had promised? Back to our scripture in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 10, we read, They have turned their back on the iniquities of their ancestors of old, who refused to heed my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant that I made with their ancestors. If we read on in Jeremiah chapter 11, we find out just what happens since these Israelites have not kept their portion of the covenant. If we read on, we see what God does as a result of the Israelites' inability to keep their share of the deal. Because since the Israelites break this contract, God is released from His side of the deal as well. God is released from His part of the contract when the contract is breached. And the people, as a result, lose the promised land, and they go into exile. The people did not hold up their end of the deal. Essentially, they have tried to cheat God out of what they had promised by not following His rules and commands. Yet the people are enjoying the promised land. They're enjoying this land flowing with milk and honey and the many blessings that are available to them there. But they're not fulfilling their side of the deal. Throughout the Bible, we read that God reserves the right to judge people. So is it any surprise that God kicked them out of the promised land? Deuteronomy 1:17 tells us that judgment belongs to God and God alone. And God makes this judgment upon the people and says that they are not living up to His laws and commands, and therefore their contract is nullified. He had promised the promised land to them, but since they did not keep up their side of the covenant, they were losing this land. Now, I believe that we do a disservice to humanity if all we talk about is a loving God that does not have the right to judge people. Sometimes churches are afraid to speak about punishment because they're afraid that it will scare away people that might come to their church. Some churches have gone so far as to talk about universal salvation, where all people are saved, regardless of what they believe or what they do. And believe me, I would love for that to be true. I would love it if everyone in all the world, throughout all times, would have the chance to be with their Heavenly Father one day. But that is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God has the right to judge. God is love, but God will judge those who do not keep His word. Those that don't keep their portion of the covenant will be judged. So what does that mean for us today? We did not make this covenant with God. We were not with God, and God said, I will give you the promised land if you follow me. Does anybody remember signing their name on the dotted line and agreeing to this covenant? Because I sure wasn't there. So why does this apply to us today? We see, God knew that humanity was not going to be able to live up to their potential. Humanity would fail time and time again to keep our share of the covenant. And therefore, God sent to us a Savior. And that is the reason that we are here today, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. God sent us a Savior so that if we believe that He is truly from God and truly is God, and we live our lives by His words and commands, that we will not be judged. And when we believe these things, we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We enter into the new covenant. And much like the old covenant, if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we follow His words and His desire for our lives, we will be blessed. Not necessarily blessed the same way that the Israelites were blessed. They were blessed with the promised land. They were blessed with things of this earth, treasures of this earth, where moth and rust can destroy. But we will not be blessed with these things. When we enter into the covenant with Jesus Christ, our treasures are in heaven. Our treasures will last forever. Now the theme for today, which is the second Sunday of Advent, is God invites repentance. How many times did God forgive the Israelites for their many transgressions against Him? How many times did God realize that they were not fulfilling their portion of the covenant, but yet He forgave them when they sought repentance with Him? All it took was for them to repent and to truly be sorry for their iniquities, to truly be sorry for their sins, and God restored them into right relationship with Him, and the covenant was renewed. The Israelites eventually returned to the promised land after years in exile. And the state of Israel has existed consistently since 1948. There are still Israelites in the nation of Israel. Now, if we look back to the story that I began this morning with about my Subway sandwich, after I realized that my friends had not played a trick on me, I was rather upset. I knew that I had been cheated out of something that I was really looking forward to. And that was a good sandwich. The people at Subway had not held up their side of the deal. They had cheated me out of something that they had promised. I kept my side of the deal, but they did not fulfill theirs. Now, I considered never going back to eat there again. That'll show them, right? I'll never go to that place again. I'll tell my friends, don't eat at Subway. And you know what I did? I called that restaurant. That Subway. And that's something that I normally don't do. I called them to complain. I said, I ordered a chicken breast sub. I paid the full price. And you didn't give me what I ordered. And do you know what they did? They didn't offer me free sandwiches. They didn't give me those little stickers that you put on the cards. All they did was say, I'm sorry. I apologize. We made a mistake. And you know what? That was enough. Years later, Subway and I have a pretty good relationship. We still speak on a regular basis. They apologized, and I accepted. And our covenant was renewed. As Christians, we have entered into a covenantal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Like the Israelites, we have broken that covenant time and time again. But all we need to do to have a restored relationship with Jesus Christ is to repent and to ask for forgiveness for our iniquities. And we must mean it. We must mean it that we are sorry for what we have done. And we will be restored. The covenant will once again be made. We need to do this because we have not held up our side of the deal. Christ said, if you believe in me and do what I said, do as I say, you will be saved. And we expect that salvation aspect, but we're not willing to work for it. I use that word very cautiously because I don't want it to sound like we work for our salvation. But if we just sit back and count on God's love to save us from all our sins without showing God love in return, we are no different than the Israelites. So in conclusion, I would like to tell you that we must not cheat God out of our commitment in this covenant. Let's not give God less than what He has paid for through His Son, Jesus Christ. God will love us no matter what we do. But if we are not fulfilling our side of the agreement, if we are not upholding our portion of the covenant, why should we assume that God must uphold His as well? Let us enter into a time of repentance. Let us renew our covenant with God. And let us go from this place and try our best to sin no more. Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we come to you with heavy hearts because we know. We know that on our baptismal day that we made an agreement with you to serve you and to serve you alone. And Lord, none of us have kept that vow. But we thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we ask, Lord, this time that you forgive us for our iniquities, cleanse us of our sins, and help us to remember that every day we are in need of you as much as the day before. Please be with us, Lord, and guide us in your ways. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.